Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched King Kong.
King Kong.
Not that one, the bad one.
Nope, not that one.
Nope.
Not that one either.
Yeah,
not that
one the either. Other bad one.
The other bad, the first bad one.
Yep, nope.
Nope, not that one either.
Yeah, the one before that.
The second bad one.
It is 1976. The American merchant vessel, Petrox Explorer, has just set sail from the port of Surabaya in search of oil. What they find will shock the world.
We may be sailing into the history books.
They will discover an uncharted island that is the home of the most incredible creature on the face of the earth.
This is the 1976 King Kong.
Yes,
folks.
Produced by Dito De Laurentiis.
Yes, and this is brought to you, this is a Thursday, so this is brought to you by our patron, Bob Grenville.
You?
Thank you, Bob. This was not Bob's first choice. He wanted the other bad one? What's the other bad one?
He wanted the, well, that would be the third bad one. The first bad one is Son of Kong.
Okay.
Which came out like a year after the original King Kong. They like fast-tracked a sequel, and it's atrocious.
Right.
Then there's this one, and then they made King Kong Lives in the 80s, which is supposed to be a sequel to this one.
Got it. And that was the one I think he wanted.
Right. He wanted us to watch King Kong Lives, but that movie is impossible to find.
That movie doesn't exist anymore. They erased that movie. So we
they
went
sure
with this
did.
One. This is the one with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange. Jessica Lange, it's her first movie. Mm-hmm. And to my delight, Chucky Grode.
Fucking Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin. Oh, fuck.
Charles
yeah.
Grodin is steering hard into this spin out.
He is he is one of the best people. He's like Midnight Run and like even Beethoven and all the others. Mm-hmm. I love him, but he's definitely who studios call when they can't get Steve Martin. They're just like, all right, let's get Charles Grodin.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's a real asshole in this.
Yeah, he is. It's great. A asshole. Tom, how did you like this movie?
I think this movie is boring as shit.
I mean, it's a bad, they're all bad movies. We haven't had a good King Kong since the original, I feel
right,
like.
Since 33.
Right before we started recording, we noted that this is a long movie, and it seems like all the King Kong remakes are long.
Yes.
Despite the original not being long?
No, the original clocks in at, like, I think around an hour 40.
So, like, there's your problem.
That's one of the problems, yeah, is that this one is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. The Peter Jackson one is 350,000 years long.
Yeah. There's this weird obsession with, let's spend a lot of time getting to the island.
Yeah. And we don't give
understand.
A fuck about that.
Yeah, why would we? Why? It's called King Kong, and King Kong doesn't show up till, if we're lucky, halfway through these movies.
I check. He shows up at about 52 minutes
Jesus
in this one.
Christ. Yeah, this one clocks in over 2 hours. Not
two
much
hours
over.
Minutes.
Yeah. I would say this is the horniest King Kong made.
This is easily the horniest movie about a monkey ever made.
It is.
Everybody is soups horned up.
Yeah, well, especially our lead female
yeah,
character.
Especially Jessica Lange, who plays Dwan.
Dwan. Her name is Dwan.
A woman who was on a porn yacht in the South Seas that just randomly exploded.
Yeah.
And launched her into a life raft.
The movie gets going with, like, Jeff Bridges pretending to be drunk and sneaking onto the boat and swarmy Charles Grodin drinking something green. That doesn't matter. And they're out to sea, and you forget that there's supposed to be an actress involved in the plot, and then she just drifts up in a boat, and it felt like the producers put her, like, were like, oh, we forgot to add her, and they just shoved the female lead in on a boat. She wakes up instantly horny.
Yeah.
She wakes up, looks at Jeff Bridges, and just is down yeah. to bone immediately.
Two tickets to Fucktown, please.
Yeah, and she never stops.
No, she doesn't. It's wild.
She just wants to fuck the whole... At the end, when they're in New York, they run away from King Kong, and she stops Jeff Bridges and goes, hey, could you buy me a drink?
Yeah.
And they go to a bar that is deserted because everybody run away, and she's trying to fuck Jeff Bridges, like, in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah, she's throwing it down.
Yeah, it's her whole character is just... I want to fuck someone.
And they do, if you pay attention, they do specify that she was on the yacht of a guy that produces pornography.
Yeah, she says that she went into the other room when the yacht exploded. All right, there should be a movie about this yacht.
Yeah.
Because all we know is the yacht exploded. That
right,
she was
and they're,
on.
In like a, they're in like a mythical, uncharted part of the ocean.
How did they get out there?
I don't know.
Where did
but
I
there
thought,
they are.
I assumed that she had something to do with Kong, like she was in on it, working with Kong, because it was so suspicious that she showed up and then said, yeah, I was on a yacht that exploded. I left because they were watching the movie Deep Throat.
Yeah.
So what the fuck happened on that porn yacht that made it explode?
I don't know. Probably they had stacks of old porn.
Yeah, and maybe
and
the cocaine.
Film just ignited. Yeah,
yeah
the cocaine ignited
blew
the,
into the
yeah.
fireplace.
Yeah.
I assume it's one of those 70s fire pits.
It was a cocaine powder keg that just went up.
Oh, yeah. I think it was something like 80% of deaths in the 70s were caused by cocaine explosions.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's a statistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Accurate.
Her background's wild. It's about a very horny lady who meets the horniest of creatures of all in Kong.
Who meets the horniest supernatural monster.
Kong's facial expressions are haunting.
My God. They keep showing. I was howling every time they showed Kong's face. Because they gave him, it's a guy in a suit for most of it with an animatronic face.
Which, by the way, Rick Baker, who did a lot of the effects, doesn't like the effects.
No, the effects look terrible.
Yeah. There's a line in it that they say something like, who did you think it was going to be, some guy in an ape suit? Talking about Kong, and I was like, don't say that.
Don't say that in a movie where your ape is a guy in an ape suit.
Yeah.
But every time they showed a close-up of Kong's face where he's supposed to be smiling at Jessica Lange, it's just the most lascivious leer.
Yes.
Like,
it's
he's just
real horny
leering
looking.
At her, and it's grotesque.
There's this... It's... All right. And this is... I haven't seen the original King Kong in a while, but... In, like, the Peter Jackson one, they make it almost like a loving relationship or, like, a curiosity. Like, Kong is treating her almost like a pet.
Yeah, and there's more...
And it's, like, kind of infatuation, right?
Yeah, but there's more... Like, Kong has more identifiably human qualities in the Peter Jackson version, and Kong never does anything vicious in the Peter Jackson version.
My point is that in the other versions I've seen... It's always been an emotional connection. And this one, Kong just wants to fuck her.
Right. The only thing he does nice for her is he sets her down to start ripping her clothes off. And then a giant snake shows up and he kills the snake because she's his property. Like, that's
right.
And she's like, no, it wasn't like that. He risked his life to protect me. I'm like, yeah, well, he was like
she
pulling
also,
your clothes
well,
off.
It's weird because when they capture Kong, at first, she's like, I'm going to be a star, because they tell her, like, oh, you could be, and it doesn't, like, kick in, occur to her, like, no, this is wrong. Like, she needs to see that Jeff
Bridges is bummed.
Oh, her
character makes no sense in this movie.
Her character is a fucking mess. The scene where Kong washes her off, like, she's like a fleshlight. He's just washing her off.
Yep.
And then
that might end up being more true than you realize.
Yes. And then he starts blowing on her like a real pervert, like these like breathy
right things. And it's deeply silly because his cheeks balloon out like the yes. fucking genie.
Yes. Like, and she is into it.
Yeah, she starts getting real into it.
Yeah, and
like I feel like every piece of direction Jessica Lange was given in this movie was look like you just had an orgasm.
Yeah,
like that's the facial expressions she perpetually has.
Even
in
the part
this movie.
They find the tribe and they're spying on the tribe and there's a ritual happening. She looks horny for the ritual.
Yeah,
and says maybe it's a wedding. And it's like what is your deal?
What is your hell deal? Is wrong with you?
It is so fucking weird.
Right. They want us. This movie is like a midpoint between the original 30s one and the Peter Jackson one because they go for the ending of making Kong sympathetic in this one, but they don't do the work that the Peter Jackson one does. And I can at least give the Peter Jackson one credit for that because it's like, yeah, when Kong dies at the end, it's very sad because they've done the work to make you care about him. But in the 30s original, he's just a fucking rage monster. He's just an angry monkey.
Right.
And this one, he's pretty much just an angry monkey.
But they do this. They try to sympathize with him at the end.
They try to, yeah.
But
and
it's not
super
earned.
Doesn't work.
He's, well, because he's the equivalent of, like, the human equivalent of Kong is someone who gets a pet monkey and wants to fuck it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to fuck, like, she's an animal to him.
Right, and he kills about 200 people trying to find her.
Yeah, and he just wants to fuck this animal that he found.
Right.
So Kong is just a weirdo. And
yes.
I guess in the others, again, when it's like, oh, I have a new toy, I'm infatuated with it, it makes more sense. But mm-hmm. when it's like, I'm horny for this tiny human, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you're a weird pervert. Yeah, we should probably, I don't know, throw you off the World Trade Center.
Yeah, that is... The ending to this film, first of all, it was produced in the 70s by notorious/iconic producer Dino De Laurentiis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it just every decision in this movie oozes of, like, stereotypical 70s Hollywood producer. Like, nah, it's got to be bigger. So, like, he climbs the World Trade Center in this one because it had just been recently built and it was taller than the Empire State Building.
Right.
Nah, he's got to go on the tallest building.
Yeah, they mention the Empire State Building. I think when she gets picked up by Kong,
yeah.
she says, I've been on the Empire State Building. I'm afraid of heights or something.
Right.
But yeah, fucking World Trade Center instead.
Yeah,
when he
and
falls
then with...
off, it's hilarious.
That was what I was getting to.
Okay.
Is the climax of this movie is so shockingly violent.
Yes. It absolutely is.
Kong gets lit up like James Caan in this movie. Like, it's so bloody and so graphic.
It is like, because you imagine these parents bringing their kids to see the classic King Kong remake. And then they have to watch him get riddled with bullets, blood everywhere.
Absolutely riddled with bullets.
By helicopters. And then he fucking, yeah, he falls down and then rolls off the World Trade Center. And the shot of the Kong falling, and I think it makes a sound like, ah.
He goes like, rrr.
And it's like such a bad special effects shot of him just falling. It's so fucking funny.
I was just going to say, it's a composite shot of a completely motionless monkey
yes.
falling toward the ground.
The part where they send guys with flamethrowers.
up like the little painter's wagon, up to like
yes.
three guys.
And also, doesn't the general say something like, no, I didn't authorize this?
Right, so who set them up there?
What fucking subplot is that?
Like,
of these rogue flamethrower army guys who are
guys,
like, let's do it, guys.
They looked over and saw that window washer trolley, and they were like, we're going to be fucking legends. Let's go up the side of this building burn this fucking monkey.
Why did they have the army guy say that he didn't authorize it? Did they think this was too ridiculous, so they had to be
I don't know.
Had they succeeded, the movie would have ended with a flaming gorilla or flaming ape pinwheeling down the World Trade Center.
just rocketing toward the ground like a meteor.
Yeah, it would have been so amazing if they had succeeded.
Oh my God, just like a shooting star just blazing across the night sky.
What a crazy fucking movie.
Just that ending is so... But like that ending combined with like the real heavy-handed like environmentalist message, because it's like rather than in this movie, it's not a guy who's trying to make an adventure film. It's a guy. Right. It's like an oil company executive who's trying to like drill for oil in Skull Island.
Which it doesn't translate well, because the idea of a guy trying to make a film and then being like, "Oh, we can put this monkey on display."
Mm-hmm.
I get it. A guy drilling for oil who's like, backup plan, monkey, giant monkey zoo extravaganza.
Yeah, we do a monkey circus where we bring him out inside a giant gasoline pump.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And then they do that.
And then he gets stepped on.
Charles Grodin runs toward Kong.
Yeah.
And then falls over and is like, ah! And gets aggressively stepped on. It's very funny.
It is incredible.
Like every line delivery Charles Grodin has in this movie is incredible.
Every line is... Was this supposed to be funny?
There are lines that are genuinely funny, yeah. I'm not sure if the whole thing was supposed to be like a cheeseball spoof or something, but...
There's a part where when they're catching Kong and he's running after Jeff Bridges, you see the army guys like radioing to each other, and he says when Kong is going to come up on them, he says, "Estimated monkey time to your position."
Yeah, he does say that. Estimated monkey time.
Was that supposed
minutes.
To be funny? What
I don't know. But the scene when Kong falls into the pit they made that's loaded with chloroform happens.
Oh man,
it was extremely funny.
It's very funny because
it looks like a fail blog video. He comes blazing through the gate like this big, powerful island god, and then just absolutely eats shit in this giant pit.
Here's the problem.
Like, he looks like a guy that tried to do, like, a skateboard trick and twisted his ankle.
Yeah. The problem is that Kong is, most of the time, a man in a monkey outfit.
Yes.
And it's not a good monkey outfit.
It is. So it's actually quite a bad monkey outfit.
Yeah, so when you see Kong eat shit, you're not seeing a giant monster eat shit. You're seeing a man in a monkey outfit eat shit, and it's funny.
Absolutely beef it into this pit.
when you're seeing Kong get shot up by helicopters, you're seeing a man in a monkey suit get shot up by helicopters. It's nothing. When you see him lumbering around like the fucking woods, it looks just like a guy. It just looks like a guy.
It just looks like a guy. It was a very bad decision to make it a guy in a costume.
Yeah.
It
was very funny. The lines in this, this is a weird, we're skipping around, but did Jeff Bridges think the island was sad that Kong was gone?
He suggested that the natives would be sad.
And turn it into a island of, quote, burned out drunks?
Yep.
That's such a weird concern.
He says something. It's like he took the terror and the mystery and the magic out of their lives. And in a year from now, it's just going to be an island of burned out drunks. I'm like,
what? Do they even drink?
Maybe they'll start worshiping the snake. I don't know.
Yeah, they got plenty to deal with.
Really, I think like the reason that they fell into worshiping Kong in the first place was that he was an asshole terrorizing them. You saw that wall they made.
It's also just a really bad, like, it's a dumb take of like what the problem is with bringing this monkey to the mainland.
Right.
Like, he's not concerned about the monkey. Killing everybody. He's like, we took away their spark, man. And it's like, what a weird fucking take.
Yeah.
In that scene, he also says before kissing Dwan, the ape had the right idea and then kisses her.
Right.
And it was like, wait, the ape that tried to rape her?
Yeah.
That's your pickup line? is, hey, you know how you were assaulted by that ape?
Yeah.
Well, I know where he was coming from. Now kiss me. He's kind of a baffling character in this.
He is. He spends most of the movie standing around with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Do you think this is the film where he got the photography bug, Jeff Bridges? Because he takes pictures of every movie set he's on. And
I don't
this,
know. Or maybe he already was and they incorporated it.
Maybe, yeah. Because he looked like he knew how to handle those cameras.
Yeah.
He wasn't. It didn't feel like an actor just be given, you know, when they're given random equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was already into it. He looks like such a scumbag, too, in this film.
Kinda.
Like, he's got a stained white shirt when he breaks into their weird security meeting.
He does, yeah.
His pants look like sweatpants. I don't think they are.
No, they're all old-timey slacks.
He's dressed like the dude.
Kind of.
Yeah. He's just,
He's dressed like the dude at science camp.
Yeah. What is he, a paleontologist?
He is.
Okay. Sure. They think he's a spy for another gas company.
Well, Charles Grodin thinks he's a spy for another, like, defying all evidence that's in front of him.
Yes.
It really takes a long time. They have to, like, telegraph the Navy, and they have to fax him his naval records before they'll believe he's who he says he is.
Right. This movie, because he is such the extreme caricature. Like, this feels like the most exaggerated version of the modernized King Kong story.
Yes.
Like, it feels like it misunderstands everything. Mm-hmm. The bad characters are really bad. The good characters are really good.
Cartoonishly so, yeah.
Yeah. But I also felt for Charles Grodin, because he's going to look for oil, and then Jeff Bridges sneaks on, and then Dwan sneaks on, and then they just are really horny for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like he's having this serious exposition, and he has like a stoned Berkeley couple just
right,
tagging
like
along.
He suddenly has to chaperone two people.
Yeah. They get to the beach and she starts doing sexy pictures.
Yeah.
And then just books it.
And he's like, I'm trying to run a business.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on a fucking expedition. She just fucking books it into the beach.
Yeah, she does just run off into the jungle. It's like, holy, there might be tigers here. What are you doing?
I was so hoping that she would be running away and just a giant snake would just eat her from afar.
Speaking of the giant snake.
Sure.
Were Kong and the giant snake the only two giant monsters on this island? Because they're the only two we ever see.
You're right. It's just Kong hanging out like, I hate that fucking snake.
That fucking snake is back here again.
He always just shows up at the worst times.
And by the way, the snake looks very bad.
And when it wraps around Kong, it was very funny. Kong was like, ah, damn it.
It's like, what was his plan? Let me get myself tangled up in this snake. It'll never expect it.
Oh my god. Yeah, that snake did not look good. The whole thing didn't look good.
It looked very bad. Like, I was legitimately kind of surprised at how bad it looked.
Right, because there are movies that existed before this. Like, it's not just that
the
like,
original Kong looks better than this.
Yeah, it's not just that, like, the effects look bad. When Dwan is talking to King Kong and she's being held by him, it's like such bad green screen.
You can see through her hair, yeah.
Yeah, there's this thick line around her. When Kong rolls the log and they fall to their deaths.
Yeah, it's bad compositing.
It's such bad compositing, but it's coupled with the fact that the editing and pacing is just bad.
Yeah.
And like their screams, the whole movie seemed like it was ADR'd.
A lot of the stuff in the jungle might be when they're actually in the jungle and not
on
the soundstage.
Yeah, like on the beach and stuff when there's noise on the boat.
They filmed the actual exteriors of Skull Island and Kauai.
Yeah. This was the director of The Towering Inferno as well. Which I think is a good movie, right?
It's better than this.
Yeah.
It shares the problem of being a little too long.
They originally approached Roman Polanski to do it, and he was like, nah, You'd think it'd be his jam.
Yeah, he would have been really into the scene where with this very suddenly nudity because the monkey's pawing at her and all of a sudden her top comes off.
That was shocking. They've done. Yeah, let's talk about the nudity. I read that there was the TV version is first of all longer for some reason, and also took away a lot of the violence and nudity.
There's only two scenes of violence in the film.
Yes, but that feels like that just should have been the film. Like, it was weird to... It was so weird that they decided to have nudity and violence in this Kong movie.
Well, there's always violence, but sure. Kong...
But Kong taking his giant fucking monkey finger, and he just, like... He, like, pulls down her top.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, concerned about it.
Yeah, she's not having a good time.
Yeah.
The other part of that scene there's a couple of really way too long scenes between her and Kong because what they thought they were doing was establishing a relationship, but they never, like, she's never anything but terrified of him.
And horny.
She's like a terrified horny.
It's so hard to figure out what her thoughts are in any given scene.
Well, because they change by the... Like, she just does whatever the screenplay requires her to do. Like, her character is wildly inconsistent, doesn't make any sense. So it's like coupled with that, and then they keep cutting back to Kong's smiling face, and he looks like a fucking jack-o'-lantern.
Yes. When he grabs her in the bar, oh my God. Yeah. She looks through the window and he's leering.
Like, he looks like a demon. Like, his eyes are red.
Yes, his eyes are terrifying.
But the thing that I kept thinking about in these scenes, and then in particular in the scene where she's just suddenly naked, is the fact that I was wondering how long Jessica Lange had to sit there in these two giant hydraulic rubber hands just poking her in the stomach. And it's like... In one scene, I don't remember if it's in the nudity scene or in the scene before, but like the giant Kong finger is like aggressively bouncing her boobs.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, that can't be comfortable at all.
Yeah, that has to hurt. Especially since...
Like, it's a giant hydraulic monkey hand.
Yeah. Especially since the hands famously didn't work well.
Yeah.
There's a story I read about when they were demonstrating the hands to the director. They had him walk in, and as he walked in, they had the hands give him the middle finger, and then they froze in that place, and they couldn't unstick it for days. And it's like, oh, what a perfect metaphor.
That sums the film up.
It feels like at any point, she could have just been suddenly crushed to death while making this movie.
Yep.
Just like a go-gurt, just squeezing her head off.
Yep.
And everybody would just go, oh, oh, shit.
Oh.
This is why it's her first role, because I feel like they had to get someone who was just like willing to put up with some real bullshit.
Yeah.
Under the idea of like, it's a King Kong movie. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be sensational.
Yeah.
I think she wins two Academy Awards within 10 years of this. So
yeah, this movie won an Academy Award.
Right.
This movie won Best Special Effects.
It was a special achievement because the award didn't exist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was, I guess, nominated for cinematography.
That floors me.
Yeah, exactly. Both kind of floor me, honestly. As I get that at the time, this was probably an accomplishment with the animatronics and the effects. But
Can we talk about the animatronic monkey in the giant in the circus scene?
Oh yeah,
when it breaks out of its weird condom cage.
Yes, that was also weird. Why didn't they just do it normal? Why didn't they just do it normal like the other movies?
I don't know. They had to like update it and make it sensational
and
modern. There's like two or three shots because they filmed it in instead of in a Broadway theater, it's just like
a parking lot,
the parking lot or on like Liberty Island or something.
I got real monster truck rally vibes from it.
Yeah. It looks like a monster truck rally. So they have a huge crowd of people that have to run away from Kong in terror. And rather than do a composite shot of the guy in the suit, they have this big, and this might even still be a composite, but I don't know why it would be. They have this big weird animatronic and it's standing like with like inverted bow legs. Like it looks so bad.
It is very bad. Do you think Are these, when we were kids, or maybe, I don't know if you've had this experience, and you went on the Universal Studios Kong ride, was this the movie they were basing it off of?
Yes.
Like, okay, where, like, because the giant animatronics looked exactly like this one.
Yes, and it's specifically the train scene.
Yes, but here's the, okay. First of all, it's weird that Kong knows how trains work, but whatever.
Right, he looks at the train and then immediately destroys the track. I'm like, oh, he figured that out pretty quick.
Yeah. The Kong ride, you're not in a train.
You're in a tram.
You're in a tram that's being hung, which, like, you're in, like, a gondola, from what I remember.
Yes.
What? First of all, what is that?
I don't know.
A floating
train. It was their compromise.
It was a baffling... It's such a... Sorry, it just occurred to me how weird the ride is in Kong, because you're hanging from a tram, but tram, like a San Francisco trolley that's hanging. Is it supposed to be in San Francisco?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but what... I'm going to Google that ride later, get to the bottom of this.
Really do some digging, man.
That ride feels like a dream, you know, where you're like, I was in a trolley, but it was hanging... Mm-hmm. And, like, I think I was in New York, but it was, like, a San Francisco trolley. And then King Kong showed up. And he didn't really do anything. He just kind of moved the trolley a little. And then I left.
And then we left.
And then we got our pictures taken with him outside of the ride. okay.
I'll tell you what, Dave. Just follow the money.
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
Follow the monkey. Follow the monkey.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, estimated monkey time.
Fucking 5 minutes.
Yeah, I want America to switch to estimated monkey time.
Right, instead of Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah. Good old EMT.
In that scene, in the circus scene where Kong busts loose, TM, who put that big novelty crown on him?
Who did? Who did do that?
Whose job was to put the big crown on Kong's head?
Oh, no.
He's wearing a big, stupid Burger King crown.
Oh, man. He really is, isn't he?
The reveal of that crown is next to the fucking bloodbath that is the climax, is the film's most shocking moment.
Yes.
Because it's the slow, they're slowly raising.
What is it made out of?
I don't know. Plastic? Like leftover metal they had on the oil tanker? But it's like, it's a slow reveal because they're slowly raising this gas pump shaped tent off of him to reveal him standing in like the fucking Running Man cage. And then when it finally clears his head and you see that crown, I gasp.
It's like, you fucking monsters.
I was like, who put that crown on his head?
Holy shit.
How'd you get him in that cage?
Did he just did he just wake up in that cage with a crown strapped to his head? Because it's got to be tied. Like,
yeah.
The thing's going to fall out. Unless
I think
he's
it's
like,
a chin strap.
Yeah, unless he's like, oh, I like this crown.
Yeah, they kind of gives it a little jaunty tilt, like, on the side of his head.
Yeah, they put the crown in the cage, and they're just like, you know, if you feel like it. Tom, I want to tell you about the Roosevelt Island tram, which is what the King Kong ride or confrontation is based on. Thank you, everybody. No, it's like, it all makes sense, because that's a hanging tram. So you're supposed to be on that in New York, and King Kong attacks you.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is based off of, it's based off of the movie, this movie.
Yep.
Yeah. That all checks out. And also the King Kong encounter, which was apparently the ride before this. They've had a ride for a very long time, and they just update it with every new movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one that one was destroyed in a fire, so they replaced it with the 3D Peter Jackson one. That's awful.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad ride.
Yeah.
This movie.
Yeah. This movie.
We talked about the flamethrowers.
About the flamethrower, guys. Have we talked about Odo?
Which one's Odo?
Odo's the little scientist who is like Charles Grodin's sidekick.
Tom, I gotta tell you, I don't remember Odo.
Odo is in this movie.
Odo. The actor who played Odo.
Odo from Deep Space Nine is in this movie.
Yes, he is. He doesn't have much of a part. What happens to him?
Nothing. Well, like, once they leave the island, we don't really see him again.
Okay.
He was like his surveying technician or something.
He's like the, okay, there's a question. Because, I don't remember the original. Mm-hmm. The last one I remember was the Peter Jackson one.
That's too bad.
It's a shame. So I'm trying to piece together, like, okay, the lead male is named Jack.
Yes.
Jack Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Jack Driscoll in the original.
Jack Driscoll, got it. And then there's Dwan. There's always the female lead. There's always the Charles Grodin character. Have his own little Colin Hanks? Who's his call? So is Odo Colin Hanks in this?
I assume Odo is Colin Hanks, yes.
Was Colin Hanks a character in the original?
No.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah, in the original film, that character is Carl Denham, and he's a lot less of a bastard.
Yeah, I always thought that Jack Black was a good choice.
He is. They make him more of a bastard in the Peter Jackson one.
Yes, but he's like has a vision and he thinks he's not being a bastard. Like,
yeah,
he's more. He's less evil than Charles Grodin.
Yeah. And also in the Peter Jackson one, they split Jack into two different characters. They split him into Adrian Brody and Kyle Chandler? Is it Kyle Chandler?
The one who's the actor in the movie?
Yes, yeah.
That was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actor has a arc that's actually better for a main character, which is like a shitty actor who doesn't actually know how to do stunts or anything, actually throwing down to... like from this call to adventure. They do it in this one and... the Peter Jackson one. Instead, they have like a little wiener who, I mean, like a guy, like an actor playing a little wiener who's like, doesn't seem like they have any adventure in them, who just suddenly start doing adventure stuff and never seem to struggle with it.
Yeah.
Like in this, it's a paleontologist who, the moment they're just like, well, it's time to go in this jungle and kick ass, he's like, sure, yeah, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, give me two fucking guns.
Yeah, and it's like, you look high perpetually, Jeff Bridges. You do not seem like the type who would immediately know how to... And yeah, he's like leading the charge. And it's the same shit with Adrian Brody, where he's a writer.
He's a writer.
And then the moment there's a call to adventure, he's just like, all right, let's do this. I'm a writer, but I also know how to shoot guns and fight fucking giant insects, apparently.
Yeah.
It's a very weird decision. As opposed to making the character have an arc where they're forced to be heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would they do that?
I don't know.
It's very weird. It's interesting to see what came from the original movie and then what was added on in later remakes that seemed to then bled over into the remakes afterward.
Right. There was a need. You can see the shift in what the qualities of a leading man were, because in the original King Kong, like, kind of the main male hero character is Carl Denham. Like, Jack Driscoll is a secondary character who is, I believe, just the first mate on the boat.
Right.
And then it's more about Ann Darrow is really the main character. And then, the two guys, Carl and Jack, like in the original and in this one and in the Peter Jackson one, don't really do anything during the film's climax.
No, they really don't.
it's all Ann Darrow and Kong.
They tried to get Adrian Brody to do stuff in the...
Right, they put him in the plane, Jackson. Don't they?
No, they have him climb. He climbs... In both versions, they climb the... It's funny. It reminds me of Homer when he goes to New York. And he goes up one of the World Trade Centers, and they're like, oh, the bathroom's in the other tower, and he has to climb, go all the way down to the other tower. That was the same with Jeff Bridges, because he climbs one of the towers, then Kong jumps to the other
jumps to the other
and Jeff
tower,
Bridges
so he's
just hanging
watching.
Out there on the side of the tower, like, well, I guess I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I guess I'll just watch.
Yeah, and that's the same with Adrian Brody, is he climbs the tower and basically shows up right when everything's over to be like, I'm here now, it's okay. But he also has Kong chase him in the car.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. It also... okay.
But anyway, what? my point was, is in the this one, and then in the Peter Jackson one, the main male lead was made into an intellectual character.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, well,
I think they needed someone to explain more why this is bad, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, they needed someone to advocate for Kong.
Right, because they do not in the 33 one.
Yes.
Kong goes apeshit, you know, pun intended, and kills a bunch of people and then dies. And then they're just kind of like, ah, shit, that's too bad. Really a modern tragedy. Anyway, somebody's got to clean this ape up.
Right. Yeah.
They don't really meditate on it too much.
It's like maybe the only fault of that movie is that, yeah, that's one of the more interesting aspects of King Kong that the later movies explored more, but they fuck up in so many other ways.
Right. They fuck up on the adventure aspect because, the 33 original is an entertaining as fuck movie. There's so much action and adventure. Like 100 people get killed by prehistoric monsters.
And I would
argue there's so much monkey rage.
Yeah, when Peter Jackson's movie has action in it, it's great. But you have to wade through hours of some guy discussing Heart of Darkness with some kid on a boat. And it's like, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
What is the point of this?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
I don't know.
Question about this movie, about the World Trade Centers. So Jeff Bridges decides that he has an epiphany where he looks at the World Trade Centers and he goes, where have I seen this before? To which I thought, well, they're pretty famous.
Yeah, I don't know, a postcard? Last time you were in New York? I don't know, man.
But then he flashes back to being on the island and seeing two stone rocks that look kind of like the World Trade Center. And he says, oh, that's it. And he radios the army and says, I'm going to tell you how to get King Kong. As this is unfolding in my mind, it's getting funnier and funnier. Because he says, I'm going to tell you how to get King Kong, but first you have to promise not to hurt him. And they're like, sure. And he's like, lead him to the World Trade Centers. I saw he had rocks like that on his island. Yeah. What is that logic?
I don't know, man.
He saw a rock. Okay, he saw some rocks on the island and saw, oh, the World Trade Center looks like those rocks.
Those rocks look vaguely like towers.
He didn't see Kong climb them.
No, Kong doesn't live on top of the rocks.
Yeah, and so I don't know, were they near where he lived? Was that the idea? Was he's going to see the World Trade Center and think, that's my home.
Yeah, that's where he ultimately takes Dwan.
Right. And so he says, leads them to the World Trade Center. That's how you can trap them. How does he think they're going to trap him?
He says something about dropping steel nets on him.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. At the World Trade Center that he's going to climb. And then, Jeff Bridges starts to climb it. I don't know what he thinks he's going to do at any point. And then the army, who's like, we won't hurt him, just light him up. Jump him off the tower. That's just very funny to me because everything about that is very stupid.
Right, it's extremely silly.
I don't understand that at all.
When he got to the top of one of the towers with Jessica Lange, and he's leering at her again and looking out over the New York City skyline. Part of me was so desperately hoping that he would just wind up and throw her to New Jersey.
Just goes
alone
right
at
horizon.
Last. Yeah, just burns her out there like fucking Tom Glavin.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That's better than if he tried to fuck her on the top of the World Trade Center. Yeah. Again, this is also Kong is trying to find a place to fuck this tiny human, and he decided on top of the World Trade Center.
So he's the whole movie, his journey, the whole movie is him trying to figure out how he's going to fuck Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
How can I make this work?
Right. And there's a lot of logistical issues that Kong has to push past.
Yeah, there's a pretty major one, but yeah, there's several.
Yeah. It's very fucking weird. And then, yeah, so he falls and dies, and I gotta say, the movie has, this is the one part of the movie that I thought was good, which I didn't realize was in this movie, because it had previously been the one part of the 90s Godzilla I thought was good.
Oh, the heartbeat.
The heartbeat. Yeah, that's a really cool, was that in the original?
No.
No, it's a really cool idea.
He's just dead when he hits the ground.
Yeah, which that makes the most sense, is that when he's dying, the heartbeat is so loud, everybody can hear its heart slowly stop, which they did in Godzilla as well. And I really liked that idea. And it turns out they just stole it from this other bad movie.
Stole it from 76 King Kong. Yeah, yeah, Kong also has a good dead face, like when he's dead.
Yeah, because he's fake. He plays dead the best.
Yeah, well, it's like his eyes roll up in a weird way, and they're kind of floating. Yeah. Like his pupils are kind of floating. It's a good dead face.
Yeah, because the eyes are dead; they're not real.
Yeah.
So he can play dead really well. If the whole movie was just about a dead giant ape that was just like getting flung around New York, like
it'd be
on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great.
Just a corpse puppet.
Yeah.
Just shove a stick up his ass.
I don't know. There's some like weirdo is like controlling for some reason.
Yeah.
He like killed it on the island, and then he's just like, look what I got. And then no one can stop him.
Right. Because what are you going to do? He's got a big dead monkey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's impenetrable.
Dead? We sell monkey stew to the army.
Oh, that was a good adaptation.
All I could think of. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When fucking Kong beefs it into that pit of chloroform as Mr. Burns going like, I was strolling through the gas one day. After he bombs himself. Get a snoot full of this gas bomb. Just blows it up right in front of himself.
Is that the is that Simpsons like the best adaptation of King Kong?
It's certainly the best remake of King Kong.
Yeah. Jesus. Jesus Christ.
It's extremely funny.
Yeah. And funny not like this is funny in an unintentional way. This is incredible. What an incredible accomplishment. This must have had such a big budget.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. This was like a huge, this was like a famously huge production.
Yeah, it made money. It did good in the box office.
I'm sure.
This movie was a success, which makes me wonder a lot of things about audiences in the 70s.
Yeah.
Fucking Dwan. Her name is Dwan. She explains why. She says it's like Dawn, but I added a W.
Well, she said she switched the letters around because it sounds more interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that, like, from there on, that's a big red flag from the start.
Yeah. Ah, fucking Kong.
King Kong. I guess that's it.
I think that's all. Yeah, I think we're finished.
Do you recommend people watching this?
No.
I think, no, you're right.
Maybe certainly not right now, unless you're doing like a virtual hangout, because this might be a movie that would be fun to watch with a bunch of people and just dunk on it, because there are some shocking moments.
There are some baffling moments. It's not quite so bad it's good.
Oh, no, it's mostly boring. That's why I wouldn't recommend it. This movie is mostly too long and boring.
Right. This would be a good background watch, because every time you'd look over, you'd be like, what the fuck am I seeing right now?
Right, something crazy will happen every 20 minutes or so.
It's funny, when I put this on, it was under the belief that I had never seen this movie before. And I turned it on, I rented it on Amazon, and it said, continue watching. And it was like an hour and a half in, and it was recent, and I'm the only one who would have watched it. So it means that at some point I put this movie on, got most of the way through, and then stopped watching it.
You might have started when we tried to find King Kong Lives. This was free on Amazon Prime.
That's
so it's only like in the last week where they've switched over, so now you have to rent it. So
it
maybe you just
like
put it
free
on while you were doing something and just fucking forgot.
Yeah, because I don't remember this movie. I remember shots from it. Like, I remember seeing pictures of Jeff Bridges. Because that's fucking, we haven't even talked about how weird that feels. Doesn't that feel weird to you that Jeff Bridges is in this?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, it's Jeff Bridges from now. Does that make sense? Like, it's not Jeff Bridges from like Blown Away or Arlington Road. It's like the dude. It's like, it's like what we think of when we think Jeff Bridges, not Tron Jeff Bridges, but Tron Legacy Jeff
Bridges. Like laid back, easygoing Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, with long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's I guess it's more weird when Jeff Bridges was clean cut and doing films where he tried to play like normal people.
Yeah, that should have never been a thing. Don't be normal. You're not. You're Jeff Bridges.
You're Jeff Bridges. You can't Arlington Road me.
Yeah, here, put this eye patch on and talk like a cowboy.
Yeah, there you go. That's better.
You are not LaBeef.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks to Bob Grenville.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We appreciate your support, as always.
Yeah, and I really do appreciate this movie, because I needed to watch it. I would have never watched it on
my
own.
It's a fascinating artifact, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, and yeah, thanks for everybody for their support. If you're interested, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. So if you got some extra bucks, check it out. If not, that's cool, too.
No big deal.
You can give us a review. The podcast.
Wherever you're listening to it, leave us a review. It helps us out a lot. We have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, but we're not going to ask you to buy a t-shirt right now. Unless you really, really want to.
Yeah, unless you're really into it.
We appreciate all the support, but you don't need to buy a t-shirt right now.
No. Unless you don't have any shirts.
Unless you're out of shirts.
If you're out of shirts, then yeah, that's a source.
It seems like maybe a t-shirt would be a good purchase for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a shirt. You're cold.
Yeah, just keep
put something on.
Keep yourself warm.
Yeah, what the fuck?
In case a giant monkey pulls your shirt off.
The giant man in a giant monkey outfit. Do we even talk about who plays Kong? Does it matter?
I don't. Who cares?
Some poor fuck.
Some fucking guy.
Mm.
Some poor bastard.
That they just... I like to think that, like, for a lot of shots, they were just like, okay, stand here. And then they just had a grip kick him in the back. And he was like, ah, what the fuck? And they're like, good, we got the shot.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Next shot.
Yeah, they're just throwing baseballs at his head.
So he's like, ah. And they're like, great. Yeah, you were attacked by a snake just then. You played it perfectly.
Perfect. You're pulling it off. Yeah. You're killing it. You're going to be a star.
Now we're going to light you on fire. Because three guys decided to be fucking heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, the real stars of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, they deserve a spinoff.